Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. I am so glad to be back. I've been missing it. I really have. And hopefully I have. But let me get my Bible out here. We are broadcasting live, by the way. And hopefully somebody will come in and check us out. And we'll just see what it is. I want to show y'all something tonight. We'll take some questions if you want to do that first, or you don't want to do this at all. But, just give me that room. What I was going to do, and I'm going to wait till Lynn gets here to do this. Remember I told y'all, and it's good if Linda's here for this one too. I told y'all, I'm going to cover the day that Christ was born. He covered something, but he didn't cover the day and the calculations of it. Have you ever seen any of that? I don't think you have. Well, Randy ain't here either. Charles, come on. But
up in the front, you can.
No, I'm here.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you.
Everything, huh? Yeah. Good.
Too much, Steve.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, my goal. Not this week, or the first, but the first day of January last year, I lost 17 pounds that year. And about 3 days before Thanksgiving, from that point on, I gained back all of it but six. So I did keep six off for a whole year. Well, that's better than gaining six, because that's what they tell you. Once you retire out of the military, if you gain 1 pound a year and you live another 30 years, that's an extra 30 pounds. Just 1 pound a year.
I'm
glad somebody is, but I guarantee you, if I lost six and have it off totally, I'm going to lose more than that this year. So it'll be easier for me where I'm starting at right now.
Just drink water and lose weight.
That's true, because it causes your body to metabolize and ain't got no calories.
But the fat increases a lot of water. That tells me you drink a lot of water.
You ain't putting no vodka in your water, are you?
Huh?
You putting vodka in your water?
No. Oh, okay. I am drinking a lot of water.
Phyllis, welcome to our class.
Okay, thank you very much.
And everybody else, of course, but she's new in here. John, what about the other individual you were thinking about trying to get him with?
Am I on TV?
He has a steel plate in the back of his head, and the cold really messes with him.
Okay.
So he said if it's warmer next week, he will come.
Let me just start out with something simple here. Just ask you a question. But before we get started, would you bow your heads in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this place to meet at. We just thank you for your Son that you give on the cross to die for our sins, knowing that we were no good from the beginning, that we're sinful individuals born in sin. We commit sins because we love that. And we just thank you for sending Jesus Christ into this world to die for all of them. All we need to do is just trust that he was crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures for our justification and forgiveness of sins. We thank you so very much, and let the wisdom of the Lord be here and present tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Anybody, and be truthful. Anybody believe in here that we're going to be priests, a holy priesthood?
No.
Anybody? The Bible says that there's some people that's going to be in this holy priesthood.
You.
But it ain't us. I have people in that class down there, one, that believes that he's part of the holy priesthood. And what happens, people fail to rightly divide the word of truth. That's what it's called. Now, I'm having a dilemma down there with an individual. And I've mentioned to him before, I'm not going to call his name. He graduated from Ruckman's Bible College down here. And he just doesn't believe. Well, he believes, I've got to tell you what he believes because I'm going to talk about that. The Bible, he says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, they were one that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, is not that. It's rightly dividing the Bible. Well, in Ephesians 1:13, it tells you that the word of truth is, comma, the gospel of your salvation, comma. So, I mean, I can't even see how you can wrestle with that. Well, that's one thing. Because if you don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to be confused the rest of your life. You can be saved now. I didn't say you were or couldn't be. But you are never going to come into the knowledge of the truth. And we know what the will of the Father, John, is, that all men be saved. And cost them coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we're trying to do here. And how does a person get saved in the first place? I just mentioned it, but I'm going to do it again. Real quick, draw it up here. That Christ was crucified, buried, what, resurrected? According to the scriptures, for the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sin / sins. The sin nature that you're born with that came from Adam. And all the sins that you like to do. And don't tell me you don't like to sin. You may not want to, but sometimes sins feel good. Shouldn't do it, but we do. It's the flesh. And we call this justification.
By faith.
That's right. It's the faith of Christ. Not your faith that does it. It's the faith of Christ. It's the faith we have in the faith of Christ.
Yes.
Now, this is very simple. And that's the salvation plan. That's called the gospel. The good news of the grace of God.
Grace of God.
That's the only way a human being can be saved. So, in today's dispensation, well, what do I mean by that? Well, of course, we know Peter was preaching in here, and then God put prophecy on hold, and then Paul was saved right here. Wow, the body of Christ started. That's what I'm talking about. See, this individual that we have, the body of Christ didn't start here. But in First Timothy, why don't you go over to First Timothy and just read it real quick? Let's see what the Bible says, not what the man believes. I'm going to tell you what he believes. And this is what I'm working with down there. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to start in verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, Paul, he wrote this book, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Well, we know he's a minister, he's a preacher, he's a teacher, and he was an apostle. But he has never been a prophet ever. Who was before a blasphemer. Uh-oh. That nullifies the fact that Paul could have been saved in the little flock here, right?
Uh-oh, he's right.
The little flock. Or the new nation. One new nation. See, Paul couldn't be saved in the under the dispensation of the law that Peter was preaching. He just couldn't be. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven, it's just impossible. And I'll use that word. Why? I thought all things were possible with God. No, they're not. God cannot lie. And let's look to see what he said over Matthew. Chapter 12. This is what I'm telling you. God would not and did not repent. He did, that word right there means change your mind. God did not change his mind about what he said in Matthew chapter 12. Now let's start in verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, now this is Christ talking. All, this is before the cross now, guys. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto me. And then there's a but. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto me. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. That's pretty plain if you want to see what it says and believe what it is. So we know back over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 13, it says, Paul, who was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now this is where I started, verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me, first, I don't see how people can miss that word first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering or a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. He got saved right here in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. Now he is our pattern. It didn't say anything about him starting to preach the gospel of our salvation there, but he got saved. That's the day that the body of Christ started. It didn't start here at the cross, as that individual tried to tell me. No, it didn't. Now, there's a lot of scriptures, and we probably won't go to them tonight, but there's something happening here. The body of Christ. It's a spiritually invisible church. And Christ is the head of that church. And we're members in particular of that. If you're saved in here tonight, everybody that's saved in here is a member of this body. But Christ is the head of it. Now, some individual, like the one I'm talking about, believes the body started right there. With all the scriptures in here that we have read and studied in, how could anybody believe there's a church started right there called the body of Christ? With Paul being the first man. Well, he doesn't believe Paul's in it. It's because people don't believe Matthew 16, 18. The church started there by Jesus Christ. This is called the church at Jerusalem. There were other churches, but that was the church that all the churches, the Judea, the church of God, all of those belong to the church at Jerusalem, that the rock, he called Peter, he said, upon this rock. And it wasn't Peter he was talking about. It was him. He's the rock. He built a church. He established the church. Now, there was a foundation here of the church at Jerusalem. And who was that? Jesus Christ. There's also a foundation here that this church was built upon. Who was that? Jesus Christ. Paul says, but I won't build upon another man's foundation. Two different foundations. One's the gospel of the kingdom of heaven back here. This right here is the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ. So it's just obvious once you rightly divide this out that it's true. You're going to be a confused person forever if you can't see that. And if you don't see it, you need to study it, read about it, ask more questions. Try the scriptures. Be a Berean. That's what it says in Acts 7. Oh, is it 11:17? Or 17:11, I'm sorry. Study the scriptures. Get into them. Be a Berean. They search the scriptures daily to see what, if Paul told him something, if it was so or not. Okay. Now, but, let's talk about this priesthood thing. Now, if you would go over to 1 Peter. Now we know, and I plan on writing it up here. 1 Peter. Well, I'm not going to do that yet. 1 Peter chapter 2. We know Peter wrote this, and it's not one of the epistles of Paul, but it's 1 Peter chapter 2. Anybody that you're ever talking to, you need to take them here and show them these scriptures. And I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to start in verse 5. Well, I think I'll start in verse 4. No, I'm going to start in 3. Believe me, I got it down. Here we go. Blessed be the... Are y'all there yet? 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did I say... I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll wait for you to get there. I don't need to run around. I'm there myself. So it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. That's where we're going. Now, in the very first verse of that, it's talking about something. And he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout.
He mentions
who are those strangers? They're Jews. How do you know that? Because in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Paul was out trying to lock them up, get them killed, consent them to their death. And everybody left Jerusalem except the apostles. They scattered. All the tribes scattered. And that's who Peter's writing to. Because he said, to the strangers scattered throughout, and he names the places. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we're getting into it. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So Peter is telling these people, these Jews that scattered, there's an inheritance here that's reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. This means they haven't got their salvation. Those 12, the little flock, do not have their salvation at this time right here. Well, let me take some of this off here. We're talking about Peter. Now you got to understand, and I know most of you do, you got Peter out here preaching. And what does Peter know? Because in Acts chapter 4, they sold all the land that they had, the disciples did, and they took the monies and they laid it down at the feet of the apostles. It's kind of like the different form of communism, but it's communism. And the apostles, what they did, like if Roxy here needed something, the apostles would give her whatever monies or she needed for food or housing, whatever. But it was all control right there. They had everything common. All things common. So, but now see, they didn't know anything about what I just told you. Nothing. Because it's a mystery. All of that, this is what they didn't know. Right there is what Peter knew after the crucifixion. That Christ was crucified, that he was buried, and he was resurrected from the dead. Well, what did Peter say in Acts 2:38? Because the Jews were scared to death. Repent. And repent means change your mind about, y'all guys just crucified the Messiah. Change your mind. That was him. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. Remission is not the same as forgiveness at the same time. Remission is putting off the punishment that you deserve, but it's still there. And if you can endure to the end of your life, according to Matthew 24:13 and Mark 13:13, you had to endure to the end of your life, or you didn't have no salvation over here. But here's what Peter knew. He knew that something was going to happen, and it's in Daniel 9. It's called the tribulation. It's called Jacob's trouble. There's 483 years been completed here. One week of years, which is 7 years, has to be completed in the future, and that's what they were waiting for. That's what they were waiting for. And then after the tribulation of the 7 years, the second coming of Christ was going to take place. And right here is where the Jews that's back in here in the little flock are going to get their salvation. And that's what it's talking about. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This is the last time. Right here. That's when it's going to be revealed. Now, let's continue to read. Wherein you greatly rejoice that now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Yes, you are. This is Peter talking to the Jew, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold, talking about your faith, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found, that's future, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. At when? When is that going to take place? It just tells you. At the appearing of Jesus Christ. They're going to get their salvation right here. That's all Peter knew, but I ain't through. Verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Receiving. That's going to happen. Go to verse 13. And this is what Peter's telling these Jews back in here he's been preaching to. There's 8,000 plus in that. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, you scattered people. Be sober. And here it is. Hope. Hope to the end. That's the end right here of the tribulation. That is to be future brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So your salvation is going to be brought to you, not you in here, but theirs is going to be brought to them right here. But what about us? When are we going to get ours? Because this is the only thing Peter knew. What these people had to do, these Jews that were just horrified once they found out that they were going to be, that they had crucified the Messiah, and we're going to get into that. But I'm going to tell you ahead of time. What they had to do was to be identified with the Messiah. How could they be identified with their Messiah? Water baptism. That's what it was. Water baptism. And to believe that they had to believe this and water baptism. Ain't that something? We're not there. Because this says nothing, and I've got to get to that. This says nothing about sins being forgiven. But go over to Romans chapter 5, and I know you know this, but I'm trying to tie all this together. Romans chapter, I think it's 5. Maybe I'm wrong. It's bound to be 5. Verse 11. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. And your apostle, who is Paul, and most people in this world don't believe that. They still believe Peter is the apostle. He's not.
Paul is.
And verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The moment that you trust Christ was crucified today and was buried and was resurrected for your sins, he paid the penalty. That's different from this. This is what we know by what the Apostle Paul said. They didn't know that. They just knew that. We have our atonement now. What does that mean? You're at one with God. And what I like, I'm going to reread that. Listen. And not only so, but we also joy in God. Why do we joy in God? It's through Jesus Christ. It said we joy in God. It's because, hold on, let's go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll tell you why we joy in God. In verse 19, well, I think I'll start in 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled, brought us back together to himself, to God, by Jesus Christ. and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, not putting our trespasses, our sins on us, unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he, oh, I love this verse, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be.
Special K Protein Cereal. Cada ración está llena de proteínas y fibra. Satisface tu hambre con Special K.
He sinned for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Man, it just don't get no better than that. It was God's plan the whole time. Matter of fact, before God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Right there when they were deciding who was going to go and die on the cross, Christ said, I'm going, but it's God sent him. God is the Trinity. There's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit. God, they knew then, right then, that you were going to be sitting in this class tonight listening to whatever I'm going to say. And I don't really know exactly what I'm going to say. I prayed about it before I got up here, and I said, let her rip, Lord. This is the operation of God that we just read. It's God's operation. And I don't like anybody that tries to clean that up and say something different. God sent his Son into this world to die. His only begotten Son. That's what it is. Now, so, this is not as far as it goes. But this is the only thing Peter knew about. Now, back over what I was telling you about, I want to go over there to Revelation. Go to Revelation with me. And I'm going to jump back. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 6. Now, this is the book of Revelation. Now, all Peter knew was this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the Old Testament. And matter of fact, I don't want to confuse it, but up until the last verse of every book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and John is the second chapter, I think it's chapter 19, 1 through 19, 1 through 23 of Luke, Mark, chapter 1 through 15, and Matthew 1 through 27 is all Old Testament anyway. There ain't no New Testament part of it because the testator hasn't died. The testator is Jesus Christ out of Hebrews. But what I want to show you, Peter knew all of this stuff. He knew about the prophets killing, being killed by the Jews. So, Peter knew about his new commission here. Peter knew about this, but Peter never knew about you being saved. Because why? Because we're strangers from the covenants of promise. Aliens. And then Peter knew about the 1,000 years. Don, do you see that now? We'll get to that. 1,000-year millennial reign. Armageddon here. But that's all Peter knew. He knew about the new over here. He knew about this. Not coming to the ground. That's still heavenly. This is New Jerusalem. But that, we ain't gonna talk about it. I just want to show you where it was at. So, this is a great way from judgment. Jesus Christ does that. Now, watch this. That's all Peter knew. Could you be saved? No. You could not be saved. But God knew from back over there that you would be. You would trust the gospel of the grace of God when somebody preached it to you, or you would reject it. And if you rejected it, he knows that you're going to go into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment. He already knows that. But he didn't take your free will away from you, like a lot of people like Calvinists try to do. Calvinists try to tell you, you're predestinated to go to hell, or you're predestinated to go to heaven, ain't nothing you can go back. I don't like that. My odds ain't very good, because I'm a bad sinner, and so are all of y'all. I hate to look at Ross and tell her she's a sinner, but she is. Emma says, I can see him right there. Yeah, he's right, but I love that woman. Yeah, she is, because that's what the Bible says. You know, that little bitty nephew he was talking about when he was little had a lot of wounds. He born in sin. Oh. I will tell you, honest to God, I wouldn't go back to being 10 or 11 or 15 or 20 ever. I don't want to suffer through all of that. Now, I knew what I know now, it'd be a different story. Maybe I could serve the Lord longer and better and have come in more knowledge that I could share as an ambassador. But no, I don't want to go back, go through all of that I've been through. I don't think anybody here really, really would either. Now, Revelation, back to that. Chapter 1, verse 6. This is what? Now, I put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John up here. Now watch this. Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 8 pretty much is all right, that poor salvation does. We ain't got none in here. Peter was preaching. So then in Acts chapter 10, it's all about Peter again and Cornelius. And we're going to talk about him. And then in Acts chapter 15, I'm going to show you something. This blows people's mind. This causes a lot of problems because they don't understand the scripture. How about going over there? Would you? Acts chapter 15, and I've got to go. I think it's 17. I'm going to hold on to Revelation now because I haven't read it yet. Things keep popping in my mind. Ooh, it's getting warm. Are y'all getting warm? If y'all okay, I'm fine. But I just know. Okay. Acts chapter 15. Some people try to tell you that this is that other window there, but there's a lot of people. When they see this word grace, they think it's the same grace that we have. It's not. Because Ephesians chapter 2, it says in verse 8, for by grace, unmerited favor, something we can't work for, something we can't do. For by grace are we saved, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't do anything to be saved except trusting the gospel. And that's what sin stone is. But that's not the one we're talking about right now. Now, in verse 10, this is the last time in the scriptures that you're going to, in the book of Acts, you're going to see Peter. I don't care. I've read about it. I've studied it. I don't care if people tell me Peter was crucified upside down outside Jerusalem. If his head was cut off, it's insignificant. Why is it insignificant? Because it's not in the scriptures. Everything that the Lord did about these people and all of that couldn't even be put in a book. I think the scripture mentions everything that Jesus Christ down there, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to list it. But the important thing is in here. Now, in verse 10. Now, therefore, why tempt you God? Peter's saying. Now, James is the boss at the church of Jerusalem now, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Now, watch this in verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we what? Are saved? No. We shall be saved. When is that going to be? In the presence of the Lord at the second coming. Like I've got marked up here. That's when they're going to get their atonement, their salvation, based upon Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. When the fountains of cleansing is opened up, they're going to get it right there. But I wanted you to see what Peter said there. Back over. This right here is the book of Revelation. Now, I'm going to put, just for Hebrews through Revelation here, predominantly that book right there. Now, Watch this. Verse 6 of Revelation chapter 1. Talking about Jesus Christ. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Titus Jesus. Now, it said somebody's going to be kings and priests. It ain't us in this time period that I don't even have up here. So if you took the books of Romans through Philemon out and the last half of Acts, we wouldn't be in the scriptures at all. But that's not what happened. God got ticked off. Well, he already knew about it. It's not a secondary plan. This was the plan from the word beginning. He already saw this movie. He put prophecy, which is all of this. He put all his prophecy on hold. Time out, just like a football game. Time out. Prophecy is not going to continue. I'm not doing away with it. I'm just putting it on hold. There's a mystery period coming on. And instead of this being here, Paul was saved here. This mystery period. Why is it a mystery period? Because it's not mentioned in the Bible prior to the Apostle Paul. Then the rapture of the church, that's us. Then, after the 7 years, the trials and tribulation, this is when Peter and the little flock are going to be saved. But now here's what. Dead men can't see. And the Bible tells you in Romans, and I'll read it to you right now. Let's go over here to Romans. Should be chapter 6, I hope. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Now, we know Peter and those apostles and those disciples that trusted the gospel of the kingdom of heaven that were identified in water baptism being with their Messiah, knowing that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures, not knowing that their sins had been done away with. In verse 11 of Romans 6, Paul says this, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He tells you, reckon yourself dead. The moment that you trust the gospel of your salvation, reckon yourself dead. God doesn't see any sin in you whatsoever the moment that you trust the gospel. People try to make it about flesh. Now, God doesn't look at your flesh after you get saved. It's dead to him. All he sees is his son. Right now, he's looking down on Ellis, and Ellis shot a guy this afternoon, maybe. He didn't see it. He said some nasty words. He didn't see it. All he sees is Jesus Christ.
Special K Protein Cereal. Cada ración está llena de proteínas y fibra. Satisface tu hambre con Special K. Se te pegue. Special K Protein Cereal. Cada ración está llena de proteínas y fibra. Satisface tu hambre con Special K.
When he looks at it. When he looks at Raj. And I'll speak for myself. Whenever I sin, whatever I think, he don't see no sin. Because he can't. Now, let's go over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. I'm talking about kings and priests. Now, in Revelation chapter 5, in verse, I want to start at 9. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." They're talking about Jesus Christ being worthy to open the book. "And thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You see what it says? You know, it says, "For thou," talking about Jesus, "was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Verse 10, "And hath made us unto our God kings and priests." Look where it's at. "And we shall reign on the earth." Those people are going to reign on the earth. Well, let's look back over in Matthew chapter 19. In verse 28. It says in Matthew 19:28, "And Jesus said unto them," talking to the disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that ye," plural, "which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory," you also, see, he's not sitting in his throne right now. He's sitting where? On the right-hand side of the Father's throne right now. But it says, "When you have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Are those apostles going to judge us? No. They're going to judge exactly where it says, the 12 tribes of Israel. You ain't got no tribes in here. You ain't got no Israel in here. Israel is low am I today. We don't have a problem with that. Go to Exodus chapter 19. And we'll go to verse 6. I think I'm going to go to verse 5 first. Exodus 19:5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice," who's he talking about? Who's he talking about there? Israel. "Indeed,